Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Jacob Goldstein. Today on the show, a contest made for Planet Money.
Let me explain. If you're a high school student and you dream of playing in the Super Bowl, you go out for the high school football team. If you want to be an astronaut, you go to the science fair. But if you want to someday hold an economy in the palm of your hand, if you want the power to control interest rates, to print money out of thin air, the Federal Reserve High School Challenge is for you.
And I should jump in here and say today's show first aired last year or posted last year or whatever you say for a podcast. We needed a rerun today because most of the team is busy working on the big Planet Money T-shirt project. And we picked this one partly because the Fed has been in the news so much lately. There's all the talk about who the next Fed chairman is going to be. And today the Fed came out with this somewhat surprising announcement that it's going to keep going at full speed with the latest round of quantitative easing. In other words, the Fed is going to keep creating $85 billion out of thin air every month and using that money to buy bonds. And the theory behind this is that this drives down interest rates, which encourages consumers to borrow and spend money and encourages businesses to borrow money and go out and hire people.
And on to what I'm calling the battle of the bonds, the thrilla of the vanilla. The Super Bowl of monetary control, I am referring to the High School Fed Challenge.
Hello? Hello? Hello, everyone. Good morning.
We're in a gym that's got a wood floor. There's a basketball court, but we're not at a high school. We're on a high floor at the New York Federal Reserve. It's this big, imposing stone building a few blocks from Wall Street in downtown Manhattan.
And they actually have a decent basketball court up here.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to High School Fed Challenge.
It's about 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and there are about 100 kids here from schools in New York and Connecticut and New Jersey. A lot of blue suits, a lot of red ties. These kids, they will be competing today to see who can do the best impression of a central banker. We will find out today which of these teenagers has the chops to control the U.S. economy.
Perhaps it will be a kid from the reigning championship team from Montclair, New Jersey. Montclair is a suburban town outside of New York. It's the kind of place you might live if, say, you actually worked at the Federal Reserve in New York. They had 30 kids show up at the high school in February to take just 5 spots on the team.
There were multiple rounds of tryouts. Our school takes it quite seriously.
And have you been practicing since February then?
Yeah. We do like every day after school for at least 2 hours, like 7 to 9 most of the time.
Montclair is the team to beat. And they exude so much confidence that they actually refer to each other as President so-and-so and Governor so-and-so, as if they actually worked at the Fed.
Their competitors include the team from Ridgefield, Connecticut. This team also made the finals last year. And the Ridgefield kids, they made nameplates calling themselves Governor so-and-so of the Fed. But at the last minute, they decided that was a little bit too much. Still, it's clear that they are really deep into this world. In fact, they're so deep that they've actually started to use central banking words in ordinary speech.
Moderate,
relative, because you can use relative in any sense. You can use relative to 100 years ago, and it's still correct.
That's a relatively good answer. Anything else you've picked up?
The word robust. I've seen that in almost every economics article I've ever read.
Anchored. Well anchored. That's yes. A good one.
Expected to is also another good measure because it lets you say something's expected to stabilize, for example, and then I think, for example, housing prices are expected to stabilize. It's one of the most recent reports. It was also on the reports from 6 months ago.
It's really just use words that are just vague enough. Just they get to a point, but
Don't want to make any promises.
All this Fed lingo will come in very handy because the team that sounds most like the Fed will win this whole thing. There are 3 parts to the competition. One, each team has to diagnose the state of the economy. They will be using many charts and graphs. 2, each team must say, what should the Fed do? Should it raise interest rates or keep them low? And 3, the teams will have to answer crafty questions from actual economists at the Federal Reserve.
Basically, these kids, they want to sound like this guy.
Incoming information suggests that the economy has been expanding moderately. Most committee participants expect economic growth to remain moderate over coming quarters and then to pick up gradually.
Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve. The gold standard, if you will.
No gold standard jokes at the Fed, please, Robert.
All right. As this day goes on, as the competition progresses, each of these teams will have to go into a small conference room in this building. And there they will face a stern panel of judges. And one by one, each member of the team will do their best Ben Bernanke impression.
Due to significant slack in the job market, as well as a lack of wage pressures, inflation expectations have remained well anchored. Turning to page 9, this trend is reflected in the PCE graph. Inflation at both the headline and core levels remains soft. Year-to-year headline prices are up 2.3%, with core at 1.9%.
Note the use of well-anchored. This is Kevin O'Rourke. He is a member of that Ridgefield team. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is these kids, they are not just parroting well-anchored and all the other jargon. Robert, you and I, we talked to them after their presentation out in the hallway, and it's clear they really have a solid grasp of the U.S. economy and what the Fed does and what it means for their own lives. And this becomes clear when they're not doing a Ben Bernanke impression.
Right now, the economy is not in that great of a position, but everyone is, you know, they're holding interest rates back to 2013, 2014. We don't get out of college till 2016, so we're doing okay right now.
So you're willing to be patient. This is all the high school students here don't need immediate improvement.
Right, exactly. We're fine going through college with a bad economy. As long as we get out, we have jobs.
Yeah, you must also have a bias toward low interest rates since you'll be taking
out
some loans.
We're taking out student loans, yeah, exactly.
After we get out, we're going to have housing prices are really low right now.
This is exactly the way the mechanics of all this are supposed to work. These kids understand it. The Fed's super low interest rates, they are supposed to encourage people to borrow money. So if you're about to borrow tens of thousands of dollars to go to college, maybe if you're thinking about buying a house after you graduate, you love low interest rates. But say you're 65 years old. You're about to retire and try to live off your savings. You got a bunch of money in a savings account or in bonds, and you want to be able to live off the interest. In that case, low interest rates are not your friend.
I love this notion that the Fed's current policy is the one that would be picked by a knowledgeable teenager. And, you know, it's funny, when we talk to the Ridgefield team, they're actually pretty optimistic about the economy for being a young person these days. But when they try to explain it to their friends, it doesn't go so well.
I mean, I think if you talk to the majority of teenagers whom we know, they would say, oh, the economy is doing terribly. So I'm not sure everyone feels the same sense of optimism that we feel.
So wait a minute. Do you have all the stats and a little book right here. Do you spend a lot of time telling, no, it's not as bad as you think?
I mean, you attempt to argue with people, but if they don't have like a fundamental knowledge of the indicators, it's difficult to discuss with someone who doesn't know.
You must say to them, look, retail sales. Look at the car sales figures. Look at consumer sentiment.
What's retail sales?
They don't even know what the Federal Reserve is.
Yeah.
The kids in the competition, on the other hand, they have thought about the Federal Reserve a lot. And when you start thinking about the Fed, it starts to seem really strange. You know, this institution that can just create money out of thin air. Ridgefield's rivals, the reigning champs from Montclair, New Jersey, they got really into this idea. This is Amadi Shivaka from Montclair.
One of the really interesting things that we actually sort of like talked about a couple of nights ago actually was the idea that during the financial crisis to provide liquidity in the market, the Fed actually just created the money to buy assets and things like that. And that was sort of like mind-blowing to me how, you know, the money didn't come from somewhere. The Fed just created $1 trillion and they put it in the market. And then when it feels like it, it can take that $1 trillion and make it disappear.
Well, he's going to have to get his head around that concept pretty damn quick because Montclair, they made it to the final round in the afternoon.
And Ridgefield, they made it as well.
So the challenger and the reigning champion go into the finals. You thought it was crazy before. It is about to get real. 15 teams came in the morning.
There are 5 teams that have made the finals. They are sequestered off in a secret room somewhere in the Fed. I don't actually know where they are.
And the finals, it definitely feels like a big deal. The presentations in the morning, they were in these little conference room. But the finals are here in this big, fancy auditorium with a stage at the front and microphones.
One team after another comes into the auditorium. They walk up on the stage and they answer questions from the panel of Fed economists.
Questions like this.
The Federal Reserve generally focuses on core inflation instead of mainly on headline inflation. What are the differences between these measures? Which would be your preferred measure and why?
Robert, I know this one. Call on me, I know it.
You can put your hand down. We are going to hear from our challenger first, the Ridgefield team.
The biggest and most obvious difference between core and headline inflation is headline includes energy and oil prices, which are very volatile and seem to change a lot, whereas core generally has a more constant trend because it takes out this element of volatility in the market. Yes, and it also includes food.
Oh, it sounds like someone had to whisper that word food to him.
But it was pretty good. And just to restate it, headline inflation, it's basically a measure of how much all prices are rising. Core inflation is everything except prices for food and energy.
And as each of the teams made very clear, headline is important because it's the bottom line. It's what you and I pay every month. But there's a problem. It moves around in the short term. We all buy oil or gasoline or some form of it. If oil prices jump up, boom, headline inflation jumps up. Oil prices fall, headline inflation falls. If the Fed tried to change its policy every time this price of oil changed, or rose or fell, it would be a mess.
So in the short term, the Fed pays more attention to core inflation, which tends to be much more steady. And the Montclair team, they did a really good job of explaining this.
But when we see political instability in the Middle East, headline inflation tends to increase because oil prices are increasing. And this isn't necessarily a long-term change in inflation. And it is subject to change, as Governor Lin mentioned. And so core inflation is definitely a more accurate tool for judging the long-term increases in price levels.
Whew. Both teams are hitting just the right note of authoritativeness and being really boring.
Totally nailing it.
Ah, they're so close. This is a squeaker.
And we are about to find out who won. But Robert, first, we have to get to our special Planet Money question that we asked these kids.
Absolutely. We had to test them. Now, we all know what they're going to say if we ask them, oh, who's your favorite central banker? They're all going to say Ben Bernanke. So we wanted to know, who is your second favorite central banker? I posed this to Catherine Gross and Allison Schoenberg from Ridgefield High. They took a stab at it.
There's a Yellen.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
We read a lot of speeches by the Federal Reserve people, and this woman, Jane Yellen, she writes speeches in just in a clear, logical way, and it's a way that us high school students are able to understand with only our education, and we really appreciate that.
Janet Yellen, Vice Chair of the Federal Reserve, if you are listening to this, the kids love you. You are huge in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Now, let's go to Montclair.
Who's your second favorite central banker?
Paul Volcker.
Good one. Good one. Who's your second favorite central banker?
Draghi.
I'm going Hans Weidmann on this one.
That I didn't see coming. Who's Hans Weidmann?
Isn't that the German guy?
Weidmann, he's the head of the Bundesbank, which, let me admit, I had to look that up. Draghi is Mario Draghi. He's the head of the European Central Bank. And Paul Volcker, he was chairman of the Fed before these kids were born.
You know, all the challengers are very good. But Montclair, they live monetary policy.
Our winner is Montclair High School. Congratulations.
And they were very excited. It's funny that as soon as this was announced, they were like any teenager anywhere who wins a competition. They were 17 again.
The team from Ridgefield, they got an honorable mention.
And they seemed okay with that. I mean, some of them said they were interested in going into economics, and they talked about how they were actually angling for internships at the Fed. That would be the true prize, the shot at becoming the central bankers of tomorrow.
Junius Brown, one of the students on the Ridgefield team, he took away from this a concept that, I have to say, as a Planet Money reporter, is dear to my heart.
Typically, the more you look at economics, the more you realize that there's really a lot more going on than you'd expected.
Have you found yourself to be more confused the more you know?
I think it depends. It's sort of like every question you find an answer, but then with every answer comes another question a little bit beyond that.
For that honorable mention, Ridgefield gets a trophy that they can bring back to their school. And they said it probably will not go into the case with all the sports trophies. They said they'll probably keep it in the economics room, where people are more likely to appreciate it.
Tonight, we are young. As always, we would love to hear what you think, especially if you can point us to another obscure economics competition. We are suckers for this kind of thing. Email us, planetmoney@npr.org.
You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, and Tumblr. I'm Jacob Goldstein.
And I'm Robert Smith. Thanks for listening.